Amen. Well, I'm going to be talking about the dead things in our life this morning. There are some things that God kills in us, which he doesn't want resurrected. They're, you know, the bad flaws in our character, our stinking attitudes, all those things that are contrary to the character of Christ. They're the things he wants dead. But then there are other things that he places in our life that end up dying because we don't know how to keep them alive. And it's those things, hopefully, I want to talk about this morning. So before I start, put your hand on your belly. Father, you know exactly what is in each person's spirit, in their soul and in their mind, that is being brought to death, that you want resurrected into your powerful resurrection life. So Lord, this morning we give you 100% permission to touch those things in our life, whether it's one thing or several things. We open up our whole being to your Spirit's presence and ask that you would do the work in us this morning, in Jesus' name. Now, every time that humanity turns away from God, real life begins to depart. We become separated from the vine, separated from our life source, and we begin to dry up. Physically, intellectually, socially, and emotionally, our life will play out, but the real substance of life as God designed it fades. The image of God within us darkens, and our light diminishes. Without this spiritual life, without this light, we are depleted creatures which have bones and flesh, but no spiritual light or real substance. Now I'm going to share a bit of a freaky encounter with you guys that I had while I was in Israel. We all had to write down on, you know, that there were six of us that went. The Cowies came with us, and the Cowies' sister and husband also came with us. And we were asked to write down on lists what we believe God wants us to see while we're over there. And one thing that I felt in my heart that God wanted me to do was find the prophet Zechariah's tomb, walk in his tomb and lay on his grave and ask for invitation. You can imagine, I mean, Peter knows me, and the Cowies kind of know me, but the sister and brother-in-law don't know me. So they're thinking, oh, wow, this is a bit, you know, out there. Peter's going, will you just stop it? Because he knows I like step, where's the boundary? I'm going to see what happens when I'm out there. Now, I mean, I know it sounds a bit freaky, doesn't it? Okay, I don't know how far into our trip we were. We go to the Mount of Olives because I had to go searching, and I had Peter Cowley searching, this one searching. Where is this tomb? Where is it? It was in the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives literally is, I don't know, what descent would you call it? 60 degree? It's really steep, and all these graves are everywhere down this, all the way down. And it faces one of the walls of the old city. Anyway, we get out of the car. And we're thinking, oh, it's a long way down. We start walking. All of a sudden, Peter goes, aren't we looking for this? There's this huge tomb site, and there's about 30 different bodies in this tomb. One was Zechariah, one was Malachi, the other was Malachi, Haggai. So Haggai, Malachi, and Zechariah. And then several of their disciples were also buried in this tomb. Okay, Malachi. So we get to the front of this tomb site and the door's chained shut. And it says on there, we do not open on Sunday. And I'm going, oh, damn, I've missed it. Right? I've missed this opportunity. Doesn't matter. Anyway, there's a house next door, and the guy in the house next door is the caretaker of the entire tomb site. And he comes out and he says, we don't open on Sunday, but God's told me to come and open this for you. okay, that's definite confirmation that I heard and that God wants me to do this. So as he opens the door and I walk in, to it's pitch dark, and he's handing us all little candles, you know, this long, to find our way around this enormous place of dry dead bones. And he goes, Haggai and Malachi are buried side by side, and they're about the tenth graveside in. Zechariah, I'm going to go put a light on his grave because it's too hard to explain. I'll just put the light there. Now, we had to walk downstairs into the tombs. So we're walking down. My heart's gone. The Spirit of God hits me. I'm crying. And I think some others in our group were being touched by the presence of God. So now this freaky lady, they're thinking, oh, maybe there's something in this. So we go around to Haggai and Malachi's, and I'm going, Lord, you didn't ask me to lay on their gravesite, but I'm going to pray for the impartation to hit all of us. So I was praying, Lord, whatever's still alive in their bones, can you impart it into us? And then when we got to Zechariah's grave, I'm thinking, I'm not lying on that. It was like dirt cut out of stone, so, you know, this high off the ground. I'm not going to slither into that. I don't know if there's spiders. I agreed, Lord, okay, I'm just going to sit down and put my feet on his grave and pray for the impartation. It was an amazing experience. And the guy who'd come down to open the grave or the tomb site said, obviously, it's very important to you. Now, I didn't know how important it was. I just got this idea that I couldn't shake, and it was really the only thing I wrote on my list. And I knew how everyone else thought. But the impact that it had on all six of us was awesome. And the two real doubting ones that thought this girl's a nut, they came over to me during the experience and said, you have really inspired us, and we are now going to go back to Malachi's grave and pray for our son-in-law because his name is Malachi. I went, that is awesome. That is awesome. In the New Testament, who else is it that gave things to impart the anointing? Wasn't it Paul with his handkerchiefs? And I started saying to the Lord, where in Scripture does this type of thing happen, Lord? And he took me to 2 Kings 13, 14 to 21. So if anyone has their Bible on hand, open it up and we'll start reading. 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 to 21. Now, the prophet Elisha was suffering from illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. The king himself was facing an Assyrian onslaught in war. And Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it 3 times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only 3 times. Elisha died and was buried. Now, Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders, so they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. It's a pretty impressive story that's recorded in there. Now, to be honest, I still don't have the full understanding of why I was to do what I did. But I know there's something spiritual in it, and I know that it's about bringing life to dead things. Let me continue. Now, remember that Elisha was God's governmental peace for Israel. He was infused with God's spirit, and whilst Elisha lived, he was not moved by the presence of any king and could not be brought into subjection by any man or any situation. Nothing could overcome him. And at the conclusion of his ministry, Elisha died of old age and was buried, and yet his body still prophesied. It raised a dead man to life and restored the hope of victory back to King Jehoash and the nation of Israel. They went on to defeat their enemy and recover the cities that had been taken, restoring them back to the kingdom of Israel. As many times as the king Jehoash had struck the ground with the arrows were his victories, just as Elisha had prophesied. Now, many of us, when things happen in our life, we don't instantly just, you know, come before the Lord and repent. Sometimes we're a bit slow, and we end up reaping the seeds that we have sown that are negative. We end up reaping them, and they come back at our life so quickly. And we don't realize that with every seed that was planted, negative seed, we still have to take it to the cross of Christ and pray it through so that the repercussions don't keep coming at us. You know, Christ's cross is not just for our sin, but every seed of sin that's been planted in our life. And we need to pray through these things. When we recognize bad fruit, we need to pray through the bad fruit so that the cross of Christ can be stuck right at that bad fruit, and that bad fruit will stop coming at us. Full repentance. See, as we continue our journey, we will always discover areas of our life that we could describe as being in a tomb of death. And like I said before, some of those things God doesn't want to resurrect. But the things of God that he started to sow into our life, he does. He doesn't want those things dying. Perhaps we have even scoffed at the thought that these dead bones, these dead things, could live again. Maybe it's our marriage and it's become dry, or our finances are in great debt. Our dreams have lost the driving force of God. Our health is struggling. Our attitudes stink about things. Our faith and our spiritual journey has lost its va-va-voom. Or the call of God in our life has dried up and has become a distant memory because things haven't worked out the way we thought they would work out. It hasn't been God's way, it's been our way, and we don't understand why God's not blessing that thing. The question is, can these bones live? Can these areas be soaked in the presence and the word of God and soaked in his spirit once again? The things that are dead in our life are absolutely perfect for the resurrection. The power of God in you now. Because unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Ezekiel the prophet gives us a prime example in Ezekiel 37, verses 4 to 6, of speaking to the dry bones, of speaking to death and hopelessness. He was asked to prophesy. Prophesy to this valley full of bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I've quite often heard people say, like, because you know how patient I am and how slow to act that I am? And I've heard people say, Gail, stop running ahead. Let God bring it forth. Let God touch the things and call it forth by the power of His word and by the power of His spirit. Don't be eager to rush into things. Slow down. So God can resurrect anything that's dead in His name, anything. So whatever it is that's dead in your life, He has the power to resurrect it. You're not going to be able to do it, but He can. He can give life to that which is dead and inanimate. Our deadness can be revived and turned into a triumphant victory, but it has to be His way. Has to be His way. It doesn't matter how much you want something and how hard you're going to calculate to get it, unless it's done His way, you're running up a hill 90 degrees. Like, it's impossible. It's not going to happen. So no matter how dried up and worthless we may feel, or how dead in trespasses and sin we may wade, God can restore us to life through His word and spirit. Put yourself in Ezekiel's shoes. Can you imagine walking around ankle deep in bones of dead men in a valley? It may be a dog's dream, but it wasn't his. His law told him if he touched a dead thing, he was unclean. So it went against everything in his head. When God said to do it, it went against everything that he had been taught. So imagine, picture yourself standing in a valley of dead men's bones. And God's saying to you, prophesy. Ezekiel saw nothing but death, devastation, and defeat. Prophesy. These very dry bones symbolize the situation that looked completely hopeless. What looks hopeless in your life? Because nothing is too hard for your God. What may appear hopeless and dead to you and to me is full of possibilities for the Lord. Scripture shows me the good character and the good intent of God. Whenever the Lord speaks, things happen. When Christ said to the leper, be cleansed, he was immediately clean. When Jesus said, get up and walk, the man walked. When Sarah at 90 had a son, it was because God said. If God can speak matter into existence with just a word, and if he can make a man out of clay or a woman out of a rib, then it stands to reason he can also cause the spiritually dead areas in our lives to come back to life. This is one of the lessons that I learnt from laying on Zechariah's grave. It says in Zechariah 4, verse 6, it's the battle plan. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Speak grace unto grace unto grace to every obstacle. It is the empowering presence of God that's going to change your situation. It's the empowering presence of God that's going to change your character, how you see things. It's the power and presence of God that's going to cause you to line up with how you're to take the mountain. See, we all do a pretty good job at covering up our own dry bones, our own dryness. We get stuck in this world. We hit brick walls. We get marred by conflicts. We exhaust options. We deplete hope and drain help. We are left for dead and often without any breath, any answer. We have to stop being fooled by these dead ends. They are only a smokescreen of our enemy. Don't trust what our natural eyes and ears see and hear. Don't believe the way of the world. Don't bet on pretty ponies, powerful kings or governments, or having piles of money. Don't believe that when the fat lady sings, it's over, because we're forgetting, but then God. Instead, return to your stronghold of hope and trust in God. Again, out of Zechariah. For although we don't know every dead end and that we will ever face in this world, we know the covenant promises of God that are realized in his resurrection power. See, I don't know what is dead in your heart. I don't know where death has gripped your soul. I don't know how dry and brittle your bones are, but God does. He knows where I'm dead and dying. He knows where you're dead and dying. The will of God is that life will come out of death. See, our faith is not naive optimism or confidence in the power of the human spirit and our own ability. Our faith is in the breath of God, breathing new life into our dead things. Whatever the cause is, it does not matter to God. The message this morning is that God can send new life into every dry bone situation. God can breathe vitality through his spirit and through his word into your lives. We want God to grab us and breathe a fresh passion into our lives. Grant us a greater measure of his tangible presence. Infuse us with his refining fire to deal with our poor attitudes and our bad character. Increase our faith, our prayer life, and our compassion for the broken. We want to be grabbed by God's word, have our minds changed and redirected. We want to be grabbed by God's love and his acceptance, established in our identity and our purpose. We want to be grabbed by God's challenges to change and refuse to live cursed by mediocrity, surrounded by self-imposed limitations and that victim mentality. See, with men, things can be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All things. Allow God to breathe on and into your life this morning, because it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. It's the very words that God speaks to us that is spirit and life. Dry bones have ears. If only we would speak to them. Mountains of obstacles have ears. If only we will command them. Barrenness has ears. So prophesy the word of the Lord. Prophesy what you are becoming, not what you are. I'm going to leave you with a quote from Albert Schweitzer. And he says, "The tragedy of life is what dies inside a man while he still lives." If anyone needs prayer or just wants to pray by yourself, we have a response song.